If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Hello. Welcome to the midweek show, where I'm hosting instead of Sven. We have Borzoi as a disembodied voice this time. On Friday, we will have James Carlson as the disembodied voice.
Nice.
So, yes. I actually didn't procrastinate for once in my life. But you know what happened? I was scrambling to get somebody for Monday, and I was going to ask James to do Monday, like, with 1 hour to spare because I'm lazy and I didn't do it over the weekend. But I got Tony before James responded to me so I could pretend like I was being responsible and getting somebody ahead of time. I was like, oh, can you do Friday? I've given you lots of time. And he said yes, of course. So, yeah. He probably would have said yes if I had even said, you got to answer in 15 minutes. But yes. So here we are.
The 55-year-old Zoomer.
Yes.
Well, wait. I mean, James, he has to take a riverboat to get here, so.
Yeah. So what would it be if you're like you're a Zoomer, but you have the attitude of the Silent Generation?
Well, that's the funny thing. I think
like the Silent Generation Zoomer.
There's always people who were exactly. There's always been people that have been kind of out of step with their generation, but I really think no monoculture in the United States has created more of these people because they can kind of people who have are more serious can pick and choose
anything
aspects of our culture. Yeah, anything they want. They're not beholden to a monoculture. So you do have a remarkably large number of Zoomers who do not act like, well, the average American Zoomer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the monoculture of America is just like niggers and fags. Like, that's it. Like, it's not even more complicated than that.
The average Zoomer also kind of demarcates himself with that stupid broccoli cut, broccoli top.
Is that still in, or is that, like, going out? Like,
I drove around my town, and I saw a kid walk out of the local high school with that, and my heart sank. I was like, oh, my God, he's real.
I think at some point that's going to be, like, having that is going to be like, all right, you're a fag. I mean, it should already be like that, but I'm telling you, if you walked around like looking like that when I was in high, everybody would relentlessly just bullied you as a faggot. It would have been like you're trying to look like the Backstreet Boys or something. You fucking homo.
Wigger Wednesday. Stupid. Wigger Wednesday at home.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just well, even Wiggers would have been particular. Wiggers always what Wiggers do is they would just like shave their heads or get like really close buzz cuts with like you know, 5 o'clock shadows or like little wispy. Facial hair and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. This is the at-home version of Wigger Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
they don't make him like Hux Deluxe anymore.
No.
Oh, they don't. No.
He's more like having met him in person, he's not actually really a Wigger though. He's just like actually looks totally like a normal white person. It's just like he likes the idea of Wiggers. He grew up around lots of
them. he didn't show up wearing JNCOs.
He probably did in his youth. You know who wore JNCOs in his youth was fucking Sven.
I fucking did too.
Oh man, I never did that. It makes me want
to see if I can track some down.
You could, but you shouldn't.
I would do like an entire party around this.
That would be pretty fun.
Just a get together.
Have like a get together where people dress like that's not even JNCOs aren't even like Wigger. That's like the rave kid shit though.
Yeah, it's alternative, pretty fucking white.
If you're into environmentalism, people, you can call yourself Penty Jinkola.
Dude. Jinkola. You could write a whole tract on like, the JNCO is like getting you back in touch with like a completely natural lifestyle.
Breed
somehow. Jinkola. You let the, like, you feel the breeze like flow up the leg of the pant. The plants can get up in there and like rustle your calf muscles. And, you know, you're waiting through the
fields of not wheat, because that's man-made shit, wheat fields, waiting for the fields of underbrush. You can let little critters get up in there, and yeah, it's a totally sustainable environment in, underneath those JNCOs. You can create a little biosphere under there.
Alex is right. Make a, get yourself an avatar of an underage anime girl. Call yourself Reed Jankola.
Reed Jankola. Yes. Yeah. And then proceed to get angry at people for like having the ideology of Linkola or something adjacent to it. Get angry at people for not being like hyper capitalist, like anti Muslim, like basically conservatives. Like, I'll tell you what, there's one kind of thing that Linkola would have absolutely hated. It would have been like American conservatism. He would have wanted to like kill everyone involved with it for the sake of humanity and the earth.
He wrote praises of the Bader-Meinhof group.
Dude, he fucking loved 9/11.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, this is great. I admire these Muslims for doing this. This is fantastic. That was his viewpoint. It was.
Mark sent me a photo of some stream that supposedly has this character in it. And this dude, he looks like you would kind of expect.
What character? Linkola's been dead for a long time.
The fucking guy that was using Reed Linkola. I can't remember what he's going by.
I thought
now.
It was a girl.
No, it's like a fat guy that's bald and just. Well, he looks like a clown. Oh,
we'll
man.
I'm pretty sure
that was a fake screen. I know what you're referring to. I'm pretty sure it's a fake screenshot.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that person's ever shown, will or has or will show their face, and they don't matter anyway. Nobody knows who the hell they are. So,
You know what the truth is? It's probably that account is just being run by Jahans. It's probably who's behind it.
Yeah, see, the thing is Jahans.
This is Alexander Gordon Jahans' long con revenge.
But I don't think Jahans is like a. No, I don't think so, because Jahans isn't smart enough to pull off pretending to be somebody and something that he doesn't believe in. Because Jahans is like a hyper leftist who's really interested in like weird gay shit and like probably like rape. Like, yeah. Anyway.
He's definitely into rape.
But oh, he's anyway. Into rape. Yes, he's probably raped. He probably is in jail.
I know he abused his family.
He probably raped
his parents. His parents were terrified of him.
Right. He probably raped his sister and his mother and his father. Raped his whole family. I'm not saying that. I'm not defaming him. I'm saying it's possible. I'm saying I don't know. It's a fictional character I made up.
Not non-zero chance.
Yes. Anyway. So what we were talking about before we went to air was we started talking about black people, and we started talking about how if you were an enemy of America, you would just incite black people to do more and more destruction. And I mentioned that, you know, there was a point in time when the USSR was doing that, and they had definitely had agents. Now, sometimes people say that, you know, because Jews... Sometimes people misidentify Jews as Soviet agents, and this happens a lot, even with like racist or anti-Semitic people. Like oftentimes anti-Semitic, like paleoconservatives or John Birch types, will still try to lean on anti-communism when what you really don't like is Jews, because they feel like maybe they might actually hate communism, and two, it might be that they feel like that's something that they can talk about more easily with people than Jews, or by associating Jews with communism, they can maybe get people to hate Jews. I mean, that actually, frankly, worked with me. Associating Jews with communism was sort of my first step down this road, but I feel like at this point, it's kind of silly because we're not dealing with communism. And I saw like the stupidest thing, and not to sidetrack, but this is something I saw about that issue with the NASCAR driver getting canceled for liking an actual funny meme about George Floyd, which is like the Little Mermaid, like under the knee. that's what it was. And like they canceled him. And so conservatives were saying, like, they were saying, I mean, this actually made me chortle out loud. It was so absurd. Oh, I'm tired of this Marxist NASCAR.
Marxist NASCAR.
I mean, you know what I hate about NASCAR?
See,
it's the fucking Marxists.
Seize the means of acceleration.
Accelerationism. Marxist accelerationism at NASCAR. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Man.
We got Marxist Hemis. We got Marxist, like, all kinds of... I don't even know if you put that on NASCAR cars. All kinds of shit to soup those cars up. Yeah, I don't know.
Instead of Dale Earnhardt, you have Dale Engels.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely my experience. I lived in North Carolina, and I was hanging out with the NASCAR crowd, as they were always just
It's just a den of Marxism. Just a nest of...
I mean, I'm just trying to do a little circle track racing with these guys. They want to shut the fuck up about the Communist Manifesto.
Oh, man, will you stop? Yeah. Will you stop talking about, like... economics.
Well, there is a NASCAR driver named Justin Marks, so Marks, but close enough.
Anyway, so yeah, the Marxists.
I'm like trying to set the tire temperature, and they're talking about like a worldwide workers' revolution. I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
They're talking about social, instead of like cycles around the track, they're talking about like revolutionary cycles. They're talking about like cycles of history, like historicism. I'm like, will you stop with the Marxist historicism? Like, let's just, like, we got 590 more laps to go here. Like, yeah. It's like, that's, anyway, we can keep going.
Just sway bar. I need to hear about this. It's just such a problem with that community.
Yeah.
Just a den of leftists.
Yeah, they converge NASCAR for Marxism. Now, there would be, like, neo-reactionaries that would have to, like, take seriously this proposition. They would have to actually, like, pretend like this was something real because they can't just say, no, it's just rich capitalist Jews running NASCAR.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it is. Or the rich capitalists that run NASCAR are enthralled to the larger Jewish business community and do this because they basically – it's also, like – I want to dispel the notion that people do this because they're submitting to something. No, they do it because they agree with it. People at the top of NASCAR just agree with this. They agree that it's really bad. They like George Floyd. They like Black Lives Matter. They support it. They're not being coerced. They're not being bullied. And even if they are, they act as if they like it anyway, so they should just be treated as if they like it. Because anybody who actually doesn't like this stuff, you should show some fucking balls. But they don't. They never do. That's one thing America is sorely lacking, is balls. That's why you get bloviating. People with that, people that are cowards bloviate. Bloviators are cowards. People with balls don't need to bloviate. So, anyway, but what we were talking about was how the Soviet Union did try to use racial upheaval, which was generated by Jews in the course of their cultural revolution to take over the society of this country. they tried to utilize that. And this is when Jews were sort of undergoing kind of like a soft, slow sort of divorce from the Soviet Union. However, when they finally divorced from the Soviet Union completely, they just shut it down. They're like, yeah, we're just done with that. We're just shutting it. As it turns out, they're probably regretting that move now because Russia is less under control than the Soviet Union was. I think the reason Jews shut down the Soviet Union was they feared that it was going to go too independently in its own direction and not be under the control of Jews anymore because it was a massive state apparatus that was capable of purging Jews if it wanted to and could have gone in whatever direction. And they're like, no, we'll shut it down. Now that's actually happened to the actual Russian state. And their idea, even going back to 1991, was to break it up into constituent republics and run those as little micro free trade, no sovereignty, economic zones, etc. That's still the plan, and that's what this whole Ukraine thing is all about. Ukraine is merely a tool in that attempt.
And I actually have some material that bolsters your argument on that.
Oh, wait. What bolsters my argument? I mean, I'm sure you do, and I want to hear it. But I'll say, like, what bolsters my argument is just like listening to what Jews say about.
Oh, sure.
I just listen to what, not just Gunther either. Like, Gunther's just repeating what he's heard. I'm talking about, like, the big-time Jews. But, yeah, what's that material?
So, because we were talking about the story about, supposedly from George Kennan's diaries about a meeting between Brezhnev and Thatcher.
Right.
And I did, a couple of years ago, I did some research into that. And I read through Kenan's diaries and I could not find the story, but I found the source of it. And it's a little bit more interesting than the way that it's portrayed. The original source on this, because the story had been kind of floating out there for a long time in the 1970s. So the source on it, the original source on it seems to be Freeman Dyson, but go ahead.
We have to tell the story. So the story that I heard, and I think I got this from VDare or maybe an Amarin article or something.
Yeah, they've discussed this because I found their sources on this too. I think it was in Amarin article.
The claim was that in Kennan's diary, Kenan was Secretary of State. Who was he Secretary of State under?
Was he just
a diplomat? Maybe he wasn't Secretary.
He was always kind of floating around out there because he was a long time
diplomat.
George
Kenan was a long time diplomat, American diplomat. I think his career ended probably in the 70s. Whatever.
Let's see here.
We can look that up. Anyway, George Kenan was a long time U.S. diplomat of the old school Anglo. You know what I mean? Like old school type. And according to him, now, this is according to the story I read, which is seems to have been not true or misattributed. He was present at a meeting with Margaret Thatcher and Brezhnev, in which Brezhnev actually said he thought the West and the USSR should grow closer. This would have been in the 70s, because both sides needed to protect white world supremacy. Basically, he was like Lothrop Stoddard posting. And according to this fable, Margaret Thatcher was appalled and like stormed out of the room. Now, I would totally believe that, and it might have happened, but I don't, according to Borzoi, we can't find a source on that in Kenan's diary, which is the source that was claimed from the article I read.
I'll tell you. I think this did happen, but it wasn't with Thatcher. I think it was with Callahan, her predecessor, or one of her predecessors. I forget when Callahan was prime minister.
It's better if it's Thatcher for our narrative.
I know. I think it became for Thatcher because it makes the narrative juicier. But here's where the story, because the story basically floated in elite circles, floated around in rumor. It's sourced from Freeman Dyson, the scientist, and this is what the book 21st Century.
He was the inventor of the Dyson sphere, right?
Yep, that's the same one. Yeah, the 21st Century Cold War. This is this. What I'm about to read is from this book.
But Dyson spheres don't really exist.
Oh, it was a theoretical construct.
Yeah,
but they're in Star Trek.
But they would be impossible. You need more materials than exist on an entire planet. You need several planets in order to build one. Anyway, let's press forward.
Yeah, but I've seen it in Star Trek. It's real.
Right. So from 21st Century Cold War, interestingly, there is anecdotal evidence that the top leadership of the Soviet Union was becoming more racially conscious as the Cold War waned. Freeman Dyson, an eminent theoretical physicist who occasionally accompanied U.S. and British politicians to high-level meetings, recounted in his book The Scientist as Rebel, an episode in which U.K. Prime Minister James Callaghan met with General Secretary Leonid Brezhnev sometime in the late 70s. At the end of the second day of the conference, Callaghan remarked that he was pleased to discover that there were no urgent problems that threatened to bring conflict between England and the Soviet Union. Brezhnev reportedly replied, "Mr. Prime Minister, there is only one important question facing us, and that is the question whether the white race will survive." Supposedly, Brezhnev repeated this message in a meeting with Margaret Thatcher a few years later. Likewise, Richard Nixon reported to C.L. Sulzberger of the New York Times that Brezhnev had expressed the same sentiment to him years earlier. So, okay, I forgot that that Thatcher meeting probably did happen. It probably did actually happen, but I can't find a recounting of that story, but I have the story that Nixon told in his memoirs, which is even a little bit more interesting to me than the Thatcher story. So this is from Nixon's memoirs. The subject of religion came up, and Brezhnev said, "What the hell difference does it make what God Americans pray to? We recognize all religions. All we care about is whether they are for peace." He again described his policy on Jewish emigration. He said, "As far as I am concerned, I say let all the Jews go and let God go with them." He spoke of the destruction of civilization from nuclear... He spoke of the destruction of civilization from nuclear war and repeated what Khrushchev had said 15 years earlier, that we must remember that in such a war, the white race would be destroyed and only the yellows and blacks would remain to rule the world.
Wow, and that would be a terrible prospect. So this guy's just based.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have multiple attributions that Brezhnev was going to all these world leaders saying this stuff. I forgot that other source does say that the Thatcher story floated around out there, too. So that probably happened, too. I mean, if he's talking about this to Nixon and he's talking about this to Callaghan, he almost certainly talked about it to Matt Thatcher.
Of his.
That's pretty great.
And it's also funny because he might
have gotten... You Jews can leave and take Yahweh with you.
Yeah, he you can take your volcano demon with you. Your foreskin gobbling demon god with you. He might have actually been kind of fooled by some of the Jewish propaganda coming out of the West into actually thinking that these people were racists. Like reading like leftist propaganda, I don't know, maybe not. Like reading leftist stuff coming out of the West, accusing everybody of racism. All him and like, yeah, listen, like, you know, we're on the same page here. Like we gotta make sure that whites don't die out. And then they're like, wait, what? Excuse me.
He was also almost 40 when World
That's
when
literally
World War
II. Opposite of what we requested. Yeah,
he was a much older man. He was from an older generation, so he. He might not even have been
thinking. Assumption.
Yeah, just assumed like, well, yeah, I mean, all these white countries have always wanted to be dominant, so if I'm just going to speak to them as a white man to them.
Right, right. Yeah.
My grandparents used to talk that way, too. It is funny how when you get that remnant of how people used to talk and the assumptions they used to have, they had to be propagandized out of them after.
Well, it's also Gatsby. In Gatsby, speaking of that, you know, there's that scene where the guy who is actually portrayed as a douchebag in the story, but he has a background assumption that, like, yeah, we just can't let these people of color rise up and take over the white race. He's disgusting.
Yeah, Lothrop Stoddard is referenced in the book.
How did the characters? Because isn't there an implication that Gatsby is supposed to be Jewish?
I remember hearing something about that, or that there's a Jewish character in the book. I don't remember if it's Gatsby,
it's Nick,
or not. But I know
the main
character.
The POV character is Jewish. What's the POV character's name? Is Nick, right?
I haven't read this book in such a long time.
I think it is. Anyway, yeah.
Meyer Wolfsheim in The Great Gatsby. Oh. So yeah.
Yeah, obviously Meyer Wolfsheim is going to be a fucking kike. But I think Anyway, I've read some Nazis that have said, yeah, Gatsby's also supposed to be a kike because he's just like lying. But I'm like, I thought he was supposed to be standing for like Joe Kennedy, but who knows? Because he's alcohol bootlegging is how he's making all of his money.
Yeah.
People have argued. I just found this JSTOR article, The Passing of Jay Gatsby, Class and Anti-Semitism. And I'm just seeing somebody argued that Jay Gatsby is a Jewish American who has concealed his identity in order to transcend class, ethnic, and religious barriers.
It could be
Jews that
made that one up, right? Because they want to perpetuate that story that we were talking about on Monday's show with like Otto Hermann Kahn, who is like one of the most oppressed people in history. You know, like, I don't know if you listen to Monday's show yet.
I did.
Yeah. So Otto Hermann Kahn, like one of the most oppressed. I mean, this guy really triumphed over adversity, built like the second largest mansion in America, and yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, what was funny, because you guys were talking about the whole opera seat thing and casting doubt on it. You know who else talks about the drama of the opera seats? Was the Morgenthau family. There's actually an entire chapter in Andrew Meyer's book on the Morgenthaus that extensively covers how they were fighting against supposed anti-Semitism. And I think what it really was just basically socialites trying to pick their own, and they didn't want a rival group, the Jews, to be able to control the opera seats. But the Morgenthaus prevailed, and they basically subverted the opera seats.
Well, my thing is also what's amazing to me is how this kind of stuff is put – like all these these fabulously wealthy Jews from a time period like the Gilded Age when the way you're presented in stuff like Great Gatsby and other books about that era – you're presented with an image of like an entirely WASP, like aloof WASP establishment that is living lifestyles that are like so luxuriant compared to like the average person, and that Jews are just not either non-existent, but whenever the fact that a significant number of these Gilded Age robber barons were kikes themselves, they then complain that they were discriminated against at like fucking country clubs and opera seats, as if anybody should even if it's true, as if anybody should give any fucks. Like, I don't fucking care if you were discriminated against at a country club, you fucking Jew. I don't care.
Yeah, like, and the because Tony is wondering, like, well, what's the point? It's because, like, you're seen in the opera seats, and so that's one of the reasons why they wanted to control. It's not just that, oh, I can't just go there and enjoy the show. The whole thing is basically a pageantry of prestige and power, and Jews are just seething. Yeah, and Jews are seething that they're not just, like, the door's just not open to the. I mean, usually the door was open to them. Like, they were given a lot more allowances than they like to admit.
I'll tell you what it is. It's that, but the other thing is, Jews, any space they're excluded from, they need to get into because they're worried that people are there fucking plotting. That's what it is more than anything. They're like, we're not allowed in the. Those guys are sitting in that opera seat, like, planning something, and we don't know what it is. We need to know what it is. That's even why they try and get into, like, white nationalist circles. There's always, like, one or two. They always want to get in because they want to see what you're doing. It's happened to us numerous times. You'll get one, like messaging you privately or emailing you or trying to butter you up and then get involved and know what you're thinking, what you're doing. No, fuck off. Fuck off. So, yeah, that's why they wanted to – that's why they took the churches and made them all into faggot havens, because if they can't be in the churches where the – like Episcopalians and WASPs, you know, these as gay as they are, Jews don't trust them for shit. Jews fucking A-log WASPs to this day while WASPs literally kiss the earth that they walk on. I mean, you talk about the relationship of evangelicals to Jews. I mean, they actually basically genocided the WASP upper class. They've destroyed it. Yet what remnants of it there are mostly like aspirational upper middle class people now. And they kiss the earth that Jews walk on and Jews shit all over them. And they take church, their one institution, and they make it a faggot. They make it literally like a AIDS. They make it like a spawn point for the AIDS virus.
Everything you need to know about Jews is just look at how they treat their most philo-Semitic supporters.
They shit on
them. Whether it's the WASPs or the evangelicals or... I can't think of any other group off the top of my head right now, but just look at how they always treat these. Yeah,
I mean, and look at how
the English in general,
dude. If you want respect from Jews, I don't know if you want them to respect you, you have to be an anti-Semite. They're going to hate you. They're going to try and destroy you, but they're not going to take you lightly. They're going to take you seriously, and they're going to actually have a certain amount of respect for you. But if you're a philo-Semite, you're just a fucking chump.
Look how they treat the Poles versus the Germans.
There
basically.
You go. Perfect example.
So there was a Jewish gangster in the Great Gatsby. I totally forgot about that.
Meyer Wolf.
We said that, Alex.
Yeah, no, I guess I was too busy reading this article where some Jew is kvetching because they kind of stereotype him a little bit in the film version.
Oh, imagine that.
He's supposed to be Meyer Lansky. That's who that character is most certainly based off of.
It's a direct parallel, name Meyer, yeah.
So the thing that they were trying to claim is that James Gatz, maybe he's actually a Jew. It's like, no. He's like from the Midwest, right?
Yeah, I think that what he is I think the analog...
What he really is James Carlson.
Yes.
That's what this movie's about. That's what the book's about. James Carlson.
I think that he's sort of a Joe Kennedy type. Like he's actually not he's a poor or middle class or working class white person who just really, really loves the idea of being rich. And remember the whole thing about he's in the library and you take the book off the shelf and none of the pages have been cut because he's not reading them. He's not actually looking at them. They're purely for show and all that shit, right? And all the shirts in his drawers, like, they're all folded up. He's never worn them. Like, yeah. So it's all just purely – it's all like, – that's the book is a commentary on that, right?
Right, right. And why would you have two Jewish archetypes in the same book like
right,
that?
Right, if
like,
you're going to openly have a stereotypical fucking kike, scheming criminal kike, why would you make your main character like subliminally Jewish, particularly since that's not part of F. Scott Fitzgerald's internal life? Struggling with a Jewish – that's not – like a Jew might read that, interpret that, but he's not going to. F. Scott Fitzgerald doesn't give a fuck about that.
Right,
He's like, I'm thinking about the life of like a money-obsessed and status-obsessed goy. So, yeah. Anyway. But, yeah, so that's kind of that anecdote about Brezhnev and white world supremacy. Brezhnev, like, low-key Stotterite. As many people were. Yes. So... From there,
some more evidence for Gatsby possibly being Jewish is that because he is from the Midwest, and this JSTOR article I'm reading here says the Midwest, the Great Lakes in particular, was such an integral part of Jewish bootlegging logistics that Lake Erie was Oh, I'm going to be full screen this. Hmm. I can't. There we go. What, Lake Erie. What? Why did it do that? I'm sorry about that. The Lake Erie was known in underground circles as the Jewish Lake.
All these people just like Erie selling here. They just. Yeah. There's a triple entendre there. We're just Erie selling, you know, selling liquor over Lake Erie. Just Erie's, these Erie sells. Erie salesman. Sorry. Oh, man. It seems kind of eerie, but it confirms the chaos theory. Anyway.
Chaos theory.
That's a line from that Weird Al song, Jurassic Park. You know, he's making fun of it. Makes, you know that song, MacArthur Park, from the 70s?
Yeah.
The awful song. He writes one called Jurassic Park. It's really fucking funny. Anyway. I recommend checking out the video of that on MTV. It's very, or on YouTube now, the old MTV video is hilarious. I love Weird Al.
You want to talk about this brawl?
That's my favorite Polak, that guy. He's not Jewish. The guy's fucking great.
Serbian. He's your co-ethnic.
Oh, I thought he was Polish. Yankovic?
No, Yankovic is.
He always talks about being Polish. He's my
really?
Huh. I don't know.
Maybe he's because Vich is, you know, I mean, like, why am I lecturing?
Yeah, Vich is not
always
a Polish surname.
I've never seen.
They say.
Yeah, I've never seen Vich in a Polish surname.
It could
unless
be.
Like they're Jewish or
maybe,
something.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm. Hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yankovic could be Jewish. That's why people, you know, people have all, like, they accuse me of that, and it's like, yeah, my last name, it could be Slavic or, but Jews have those last names because they appropriated them from Slavs.
Right.
Period. Like, the last name Vich is a Slavic cognate. I think that's what that's called, right? Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, my name in English would translate to Peterson. So it's a pretty ordinary. If my name was Mike Peterson, nobody would even think twice about it. So there we go. And I actually have some relatives that have changed their name to that. But yeah.
So the wiki lists him as Serbian, Croatian, Slovenian, English, Italian, and just general Yugoslav.
Okay, so I thought he was a Polak, but I guess that makes sense. So yeah, there you go. So he's just a typical Amerimut, which is fine because that's what we all are. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, his mother's maiden name was Vivalda. That makes sense. For some reason, I thought both of his parents were Serbian, but that if his mother's maiden name is Vivalda, so basically as Serbian father or Slovene Croatian, it says exactly. So basically a Yugoslav father and a Merrimut mother.
Yes. So, okay. So now what I wanted to talk about, and I'm about to probably get some video up of this.
I think I have a video in the chat. If that's what I think you're talking about.
Of the brawl in.
Oh, I think I found the complete video. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's the.
Okay, so there's a couple different ones.
Trouble
Alabama
on the water.
Brawl.
There's a couple
Alabama
of different
brawly.
Ones, but we're gonna discuss. Maybe it's in this one, so we're gonna discuss this. So this is gonna be long, though. Now, the thing is, there was this supposed brawl. I think this is in Montgomery, right? Montgomery Riverfront brawl. So let's bring it up here. Let me see. Yeah, I got to change this browser, but there we go. Full video. Viewer records as Montgomery Riverfront brawl begins. Now, the first thing to say about this is that this is the first brawl I've heard about in a while that had any white people involved at all. There have been multiple brawls. I mean, look, we're just going to play a little hypocrisy bingo here because it's my favorite game and we win every time. So here we go. So this is what looks like some redneck white guys had a boat and they were out partying on a boat and they parked it at a dock. And as the story goes, they parked it in a place where a pontoon tour boat, which some partiers were on. So they were everybody here is drunk. Okay. Keep that in mind. Everybody here is drunk. Because they've all been out on a boat drinking and partying all day, right? So they
it's a body of water. You cannot be sober around a body of water. It's impossible.
Right. So these white dudes were on their boat drunk, and they parked, apparently, according to the story, I don't know what really happened. They parked their boat in a spot on the pier that was reserved for a party boat that was just coming in. And so this dock worker who was black asked them to move it. They didn't. And then he moved it. And then a fight ensued. Although there's many, many minutes before any punches are thrown or there's any swinging at all. And yeah, white guy swung first. So white people aren't the total pussies everybody thought that they were. And then the blacks, because the tour boat that was trying to park was like mainly niggers. There was like the lady recording this video sounds like she's white, but when she pans around to the other people, well, let's just play the video. We'll just play the video. Of course, it's going to take a second. Now
that guy in the white shirt is crew from our little dinner cruise boat who got off our ship to go over there to move that black pontoon boat on his own because those guys who parked there were told not to leave it there and they left it there. So he's just pushing it off.
So this is a drunk white woman here.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, she's drunk. I mean, she's like, yeah, he's like pushing the boat. It's like maybe it's Kamala Harris.
I was gonna say, isn't it Kamala Harris?
Joe, he's just pushing the boat off. Joe. Yeah.
Funny. Took matters into his own hands. I love it.
Wait till she pans her camera around, though. It's all niggers. It's all fucking niggers. And they're all
have
exactly what you'd expect.
Big old ticket.
Also, you can hear the straight-up niggas in the background, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could just hear them. You could hear them rowdy-ass fucking niggas in the background. The only reason they haven't already started fighting is they're across a body of water and they can't swim because they're not buoyant.
Ooh, confrontation.
And we also have a white dock worker here. A guy in that vest. The white guy. Now, the other thing I'll say, right, so these are some drunk Alabamans, white Alabamans, and no shirts and shorts and flip flops doing their bit, whatever. It's a white thing. It's like what it's a cultural thing. Even these types, it takes a while. They argue with this nigger for a long time before any punches are thrown. And I'm suspicious. Maybe they were allowed to be in that parking spot. Who knows? I mean, they argued about it for quite some time. If you legit were just parking in the wrong spot, and somebody came and was like, look, you can't park there, another boat's coming, you got to move, you'd be like, all right. However, maybe they were totally in the wrong in where they put their boat. I don't really give a fuck. It doesn't matter. It's not important. Look at the crowd here. It's gonna get worse.
Because they're black.
Because they're black. There's a few white people there.
Those guys are awesome.
That dude swinging his arms is also works at the dock. He's not with the shirtless rednecks.
It looks like a Bronco.
Get out of the way! 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 So here we see the
men. So they're chanting. They're chanting to get out of the way, aren't they? Get out of the way!
Move! They're being annoying niggers. That's what they're doing. Get out of the way! See, the thing is, like, they're not on the boat anymore. They're not on the boat. The boat, they've disembarked from the boat. Also, these niggers are like urging a fight. They are like absolutely wanting. But look at how long they argue for before. They can still several minutes before a punch gets thrown. Now the nigger is coming out. The wild is coming out into the new here.
What's instigating the fight?
I don't know. It seems like they cut it here. It's because, again, it was probably even a long time. They're just arguing over where to put the fucking boat. They're arguing over where to put the boat. Looks like he's trying to, like, these white guys are trying to negotiate for a long time.
This nigger fucking peanut gallery.
Yeah, that's like really not helping the, looks like we have an old friend of ours arriving on the scene.
You, Alex Rasmussen precipitated it, basically. the news are reporting it as the co-captain of a riverboat being attacked by a group that had parked their pontoon in the riverboat spot. So it really was literally over a boat parking spot.
Well, I already explained this. Were you just not listening? Cases.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess he wasn't.
No. I heard Mike explain it, and then Borzoi was reading the actual CNN article, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess Alex just wanted to confirm
that. But how does that differ from what I said?
It doesn't.
Okay. Yeah. Because I had done. I prepped for this beforehand.
Just go with the visor.
Basically, the claim here is. I guess that's why that nigger has on a white shirt, and the actual dock worker has on just like a polo shirt, like the white kid, like that nerdy white kid who's just swinging his arms, like hoping all of this.
Yeah. Well, that's the co-captain right there. That's the co-captain.
Co-captain.
That's a prestigious position.
Yeah. That's a powerful position.
It's a position of authority and respect.
Authorita. And so he's arguing. So basically, it's two representatives of two different boats arguing over a spot. So it's not clear. Okay, now I'm even more on the side of the white people. This wasn't a dock worker saying, I got to move this boat so the other one can come in. This nigger's like, my boat needs to park here. You can't park here. I'm moving your boat. He's not a dock worker. Okay, that's actually interesting. The CBS article I read described this nigger as a dock worker. But if he's actually just part of if he's actually on the crew of the other boat.
Yeah, no, he's just part of their crew.
He's
saying,
I'm going to move someone else's boat so my boat can park. So he's
this is why you got to have cannons on your boat.
Yes, you need to have, or at least you need to have mounted, you know, machine guns or something.
Then you can just give them a broadside.
What's up? What do you got?
It all began around 7 p.m. Saturday when the Harriet II riverboat carrying 227 passengers returned to the waterfront and tried to.
It tried to dock
its designated reserve spot, but found the private boat docked in its space, the chief said. The Harriet and its passengers waited for around 45 minutes as the captain tried to reach the operators of the boat using PA system, and they were only responded to with obscene gestures, curse words, and taunting, Albert said.
I'm sure
Pickett,
this is
a lie. Co-captain was then picked up from the riverboat by another vessel and brought to the dock to try to have a conversation with the boat owners and get them to move, Albert said. There, the boat owners confronted the captain in a very hostile manner, the chief said. The co-captain was doing his job, the chief said. He was simply trying to move the boat in just enough to where the cruise ship could park safely in its identified locations. That's the story that they're presenting in CNN.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, this doesn't look all that hostile. I mean, it's a little bit tense, but they're not like... You know, they're not like they seem to just be arguing and haggling over who has the rights to park where. Like they're not. I don't even see a lot of hostile body language from these rednecks yet. Like they seem to just be trying to figure it out. Yeah. Also, who really gives a shit? You know, maybe these white people are in a totally wrong spot. I don't really care. Here we go. There we go. There we go. Yeah, now it started. And he's choking him. Look at this. Hey man, I'll give these white boys credit. They're all dumb. Now here's this. Look at this dock worker. But now they're like, okay. Now they all start trying to break it up and pull people off. And here's some other niggers coming in right now. And there's another video that someone else took from another angle where if you see that white girl on the left in that red jumpsuit in the baseball hat. See,
oh, man.
Okay, so these white girls seem to have not been involved previously, okay? And now this nigger is, like, going after her. What are you doing?
This guy's just wilding out.
Why are you just attacking anyone? Like, see, now this guy's like, what the fuck? Now this guy's drinking lean. So now these niggers are really ready to go.
Shirt's coming off.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Now that's only one full video. There's another video from another angle, and I'll see if I can find it. Where if you saw briefly, there was a white woman in like a red jumper with like a ball cap on. And there's a further brawl, and it's actually taking place behind a boat from the other angle. You couldn't see it from this angle because it was from the other side, where that woman slips and some nigger comes up and just bashes her over the head with a folding chair while she's lying.
I saw that.
You saw that?
I saw that somewhere.
Yeah. And so I'm like, so the police have issued arrest warrants. Yeah, here it is. Here it is.
Yeah, because they've got an arrest, or they want to talk to the guy who swung the chair.
Here's the route. Police want, this is a nigger thing, police want to talk to Montgomery Brawl's folding chairman. Black Twitter says, what chair? Reggie Gray, who wielded the infamous folding chair, might have some explaining to do. So at least the niggers at the root are kind of acknowledging this. Now, do they have video?
I didn't see any video of the chair here. They just have that one.
I've seen the video. I saw it yesterday.
I'm trying to find the video right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, what chair? I didn't see a chair. So yeah, niggers are basically as usual. Like, and honestly, I'll give them credit for that. So let's see what the root is saying. The root is probably encouraging. The Montgomery Brawl gave us many heroes. One that caught the attention. Okay, so blacks are saying this guy is a hero. Was folding chairman, that may be his fight name, but here in the real world, he's Reggie Gray, 42-year-old man who the police would like to have some words with. In a press conference Tuesday, Montgomery Police Chief Daryl J. Albert revealed Gray's identity, asking to contact law enforcement as there's more interviews to conduct with him. Right now, that's pretty much all we know about folding chairman, but I can tell you one thing for certain. Reggie is a wrestling fan. Only a wrestling fan would bring a folding chair to a brawl. He didn't bring the chair. There was a brawl, and the chair was there. The chairs were around. There was a brawl. He grabbed one. It wasn't his chair. It was a chair someplace on the pier. He grabbed it, and he smacked somebody with it. Now, they don't have a link to this that I can see. And, of course, the root is not going to provide a link to it. So, wait, let me see. What does this guy say? Okay, of course, they only have pictures. See if we can find the video, because I want to show the video of folding chair guy slapping that guy. But like,
I found the raw footage from it looks like a different
angle.
That's
gonna
Send it. I'm trying to find where, because it's like a 5-minute video. I'm trying
we'll
to find
it. We'll figure it out. It's definitely another. Are you sure this is
raw different footage? Montgomery, Alabama riverfront brawl one day ago.
All right. Well, okay.
It might be from a different angle, so that's why I'm trying to figure out where the chair is.
It's the same angle.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's the angle is literally the water would be on the other side. And yeah, this isn't it. So yeah, I found it in an article. I mean, I should have actually gotten it all set up. Let me see. But yeah, it's the news media is objectively hiding the folding chair man video. Let's see. If I type folding chair man, and of course the root doesn't show it, and the root describes him as a hero. So wait, there's a whole thing. Riverboat brawl, black man's relationship with folding chairs. So everybody's talking about the folding chair. Wait, hold on. Let's listen to the police chief here.
This should be good.
Because that's basically probably the most serious charge in the whole thing. So in the whole brawl...
Okay, so the individual wielding the folding chair has been identified as Mr. Reggie Gray, black male, 42 years old. We're again asking Mr. Reggie Gray to contact local law enforcement. There's more interviews for us to conduct with him, and I'm sure we'll be in contact with him in the very near future. We're asking him to reach out to us within the next 24 hours so we can again... sort through the issues with the folding chair, which what we all saw on social media as well. Well, what I'll say to that is anyone involved that has culpability for violating the law is subject to restrictions in terms of the law. So we're going to go where this investigation leads us. No one's off limits. We'll interview as many as we need. Again, on the night of the incident, we interviewed 13 that we were able to detain and transport to police headquarters. But again, I don't think we're near finished. We have a lot more work to do on this, and we'll continue to inform the public.
So, okay, so they've already got charges on four white men, okay? And they turned themselves in. these white people turned themselves in. So they got, I guess they arrested 13 and they let a bunch go because there's obviously some people in there, white people that were just trying to break it up, or were, like those women who were literally just bystanders and didn't do nothing wrong. What's interesting is, this is the only brawl. This is headline news for 3 days going now. This happened on Saturday. Today is the 9th. This is the third day this news has been going. And it is still national news because white people were involved and they actually got a white guy throwing the what appeared to be throwing the first punch or throwing the first lunge in this brawl. After like minutes, 5 to 10 minutes of arguing. It does seem that the media is actively covering up folding chair guy because the most serious charge, no matter what, is folding chair guy. That could even be like some kind of attempted murder because this woman was like lying on the ground. And he ran up and he hit her over the head with a folding chair. So
this chief of police appears to be one of these country niggas. I was looking at his profile real fast. So he was serving during Hurricane Katrina. I don't think that we're dealing with like a social justice black here. I think we're dealing with a good old country boy black guy.
Yeah,
that's what it appears to be.
Okay, here over. We go.
Okay, so this video. We got some folding chair action here. We got some folding
chair action.
Okay, found it because I'm having trouble finding the exact clip. But
I'm sure you are.
Folding chair action here. Yeah, no, they're trying to cover it up. I think we got some folding chair action here. Let's expand this.
Like the Avengers Endgame. This is like
shut up. This is like some niggers doing commentary on it. So here's the other angle. This is when a bunch of niggers jump in. This is later on. So a bunch of niggers are jumping in now, pummeling on a white guy. So I would say probably in this incident, even if they got charges on four white guys, they're going to need to have charges on a lot more niggers because this is wet. Now the cops are here. This is way after the this is where folding chair guy comes in. This is it. I've seen this video before. See, watch the white lady in the red. First of all, that's assault right there. And yeah, these niggers are far more. Okay. There we go. That's some okay. That nigger lady just went up and started wailing on the white lady. Here she is. Watch for Reggie Gray here. Here he's going to come with his chair. And niggers are calling this guy a hero. Look, there he is, smacking the white guy. Now watch.
Oh, there he is, right there.
There he is. Now watch. He's going to come in. He's going to come in, and now look at the white lady on the ground. Bam! You saw that? Did you see that? Let's go back. Let's put it in slow motion here. Let's go to playback speed 25%. It's going to be very slow. So we're going to be able to watch Folding Chairman in all of his glory. So this is a hero to niggers, of course, because niggers just like violence and they like violence against white people the most. And the Root is openly rooting for him. They're calling him a hero. Here we have a helpless lady. Already that nigger in the blue shirt knocked this white lady down. This white lady did nothing to instigate the fight. She was appeared to be in there trying to break it up or something or just in the mix. And boom. Boom. Now, I would say that right there is some kind of attempted murder. That is some kind of... And now you see the cops. See the cops? This is how they know who he is. That cop grabbed him. Notice the cop, even the nigger cops. There's three nigger cops now restraining that nigger after smacking that lady on the head. So the fact that he's not in custody... And that Dinduisha right there in the white, she was also just running in, and so you know,
basically, that has to be if not attempted murder, that has to be aggravated assault, right?
That's
there.
Something. See, that's a serious charge. Somebody's lying on the ground, and you hit them over the head with an object. Basically, it was probably a chintzy ass plastic folding chair. It didn't even have. But if that was like a metal folding chair, like an old school one, she would have been seriously injured.
No, it's a folding chair. It's basically a weapon at that point. You're tagging somebody with a weapon.
I mean, you could kill somebody with that.
Right. You absolutely could.
So that's attempted murder.
Because, of course, you have a little fight breakout, and nigger is going to escalate it. And it's very interesting that all of these fucking niggers felt the need to participate in this and turn it into some sort of, like, literal racial brawl.
Yeah.
Instigated by the niggers.
And the media has made it. You could argue it's instigated by the white guy who, frankly, shoved That black co-captain, right? And if once
okay,
he
so
die,
he starts a fight over. With the captain. That does not entail the rest of these niggers jumping into it. Mm-mm. They don't know this captain.
No,
they're not friends.
No, they don't give a fuck. No, they just like fighting. They like fighting. They like violence. They like mischief, and they like beating up white people. So there you go. So like I said, and of course,
there's also no. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, we could go over the facts of who did what, but basically, understand every nigger jumped in. The level of violence the niggers were engaging in was much larger than that with the white people were engaging in. Additionally, if you see the actual raw footage, this video had like some niggers like commenting on it. I don't want to hear their stupid shit. In the raw footage of that video, where she gets hit over the head, you hear lots of niggers in the background chanting, "Beat that ass, beat that ass, beat that ass." So again, this is something that they're trying to cover up, generally speaking. The only what's funny is the place where you're going to find it is on like nigger channels who think it's funny. Whereas like the Jew media is like, we're going to have to cover that up because that's going to be something that they're going to be outraged about. And it's very interesting also that police chief, that country nigger police chief, seems to be like, everybody involved is going to get, anybody that's relevant is going to get visits and going to get penalties. So it would be very funny if like more niggers ended up getting charges from this brawl than whites, which is probably something they're going to actively try and prevent. And my guess would be, even if the police make those arrests, there's going to be a prosecutor, a Soros-type prosecutor. And of course, the SPLC is headquartered in Montgomery. I wouldn't be surprised if they take up the case of these niggers. And every nigger that did this, and Folding Chairman is going to walk. He's not going to get in any trouble. Mm-hmm. Folding Chairman will not get in any trouble. Despite trying to kill that white lady, he's not going to get in any trouble. He's going to get clean away with it. Despite literally trying to kill that white lady by, as she's lying on the ground, trying to get up after suffering an attack from a black woman and a black man, both, who were punching her and kicking her. Then she's trying to get up, and boom, here comes the folding chair across the head. So, yes, these niggers basically turned what was a minor scuffle into a major fucking dockside brawl. And the only reason you know about it is because white people were involved. When I first read the story, I thought it was just niggers. Because I saw a brawl at Montgomery, Alabama docks on party boat, and I was like, oh, niggers had another one. Right?
Yeah, right.
And I was just like, oh, okay. And I was like, maybe there's some funny footage.
Yeah, this is like man bites dog here. Like, this is very unusual.
Right. It's a man bites dog, which is why it's been national news for 3 fucking days. The much larger brawl that happened over the weekend, I think, was that over the weekend in Union Square in New York City? Because a black told niggers they could get free PlayStations?
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, Union Square in New York City, it's a whole city block, and it's actually a couple city blocks. I think it goes from 16th to the 14th. I've been there so many times I ought to know, but yes.
It happened on Friday.
Friday. Okay, so on Friday, and 14th Street is a big major street in New York City. 14th Street's a major cross Manhattan, you know, in the lower part of Manhattan. It goes all the way across, two lanes going each way, unlike, maybe it's just one way. I'm probably wrong. Yeah, two lanes going one way. But it's a big major street. And Union Square is a big major park. And they call it Union Square because it's where the old unions used to have rallies and riots there when they were rioting for worker rights and stuff like that. And it's called Union Square. But it was a massive brawl. When I was living there, there was a record store right across the street from Union Square. It was Virgin. There's a Virgin store right there. I don't know if it's still there. Probably not. Who knows? But in any case, some Bug Black said you can get free PlayStations or something, which some of the news left out of it. They didn't actually explain why all of them were there. And they were rioting like crazy, and many people went to the hospital. I don't know if there were any deaths. There might have been some. I'm not sure. But that's out of the news. That was news for a few hours and gone, just like all of these major nigger blowups. Think about all, not just like mass shootings at gatherings, where lots of them die. Birthday parties. Niggers barely can have a birthday party without somebody getting shot these days. I'm actually surprised nobody got shot here. I am surprised nobody got shot.
Well,
if I was these white people, I'd be like, oh shit, there's a large gathering of blacks. We're fighting. We have to get the fuck out now because a gun is going to come out and niggers are going to start shooting.
I saw an article yesterday. I think I posted it on the forum somewhere. But the title of the article is "Attacks at U.S. Medical Centers Show Why Healthcare is One of the Nation's Most Violent Fields." I've got the article
and
here.
And who's doing it?
Right. So we're going to go through this.
It's not even beaners.
Well, you're wrong on the beaner part, but it's not whites. Yeah, it's not whites.
I can tell you firsthand, Mike, that beaners are just as much of a problem. I mean, blacks are the bigger problem for the healthcare system, but beaners are they punch at their weight level.
Yeah. So word spread through an Oregon hospital last month that a visitor was causing trouble in the maternity ward, and nurses warned the man might try to abduct his partner's newborn. Hours later, the visitor opened fire, killing a security guard, sending patients, nurses, and doctors scrambling for cover. That was a nigger. So the very first case they list here, that was a nigger.
Yeah.
Let's see. The next one, last year, a man killed two workers.
The visitor who was the supposedly the father of the baby, he wanted.
I'm not even sure what his relation was necessarily. He was a whacked out nigger, and he went in there and killed people. But anyway.
Let me tell you a story quickly related to kind of all this. Actually, you go ahead and read the article, McNabb, and I have a story that is very relevant to this.
Let's see here. Similar shootings have played out in hospitals across the country. Okay, well, let's take a look at the shootings. Last year, a man killed two workers at Dallas Hospital. That was a Mexican. He was there to watch his child's birth, blah, blah. That was a Mexican. In May, a man opened fire in a medical center waiting room in Atlanta. That was a nigger. Killed one woman, wound four.
Anybody who does this is not white. Has a white person ever done this?
A man shot and wounded a doctor at a health center in Dallas. That was a nigger.
Now, there are violent white people, but you know what they always tend to be? They tend to be trannies. I cannot tell you how many stories I've heard about violent trannies in the ER that have lashed out at the medical people there.
Yeah.
And then this case, I think we may even talk about this one. In June 2022, a gunman killed a surgeon and three other people at a Tulsa, Oklahoma medical office because he blamed a doctor for his continuing pain after an operation. That was also a nigger. Every case they list here is a non-white doing your shooting. So it's
he got an operation and he was in pain afterwards.
Yeah.
Someone I know.
After I had surgery, do you know how many days I was in constant excruciating pain? Four.
Did you go kill your doctor?
No. I couldn't have if I wanted to. If I wanted to, I wouldn't have been able to. I was in literally like excruciating pain for four straight days despite the meds. Anyway, let's go forward.
Oh, my God.
Someone I know worked in the Detroit medical system, and this person had a coworker, pretty young white girl. I think she'd only been in the nursing field for a year or two, a couple of years. She gets this patient who was a member of the 7 Mile Crips, who was got blown away in gang warfare, ended up in the ICU, and this girl. He was her patient, and the mother never visited her son while he was basically just wasting away. There was nothing that could be done for him. He was blown to pieces, basically. So it was basically just watching this nigger die.
His brain was dead. He was just body. His own. They're keeping my body alive. they're resuscitating my body.
Eventually he expires, and this didn't make really even like much of the local news, but the Blacktivists have their own little social networks where they talk about this stuff. The mother basically went up to the nurse, threatened her life, said she was going to pay for this, that she accused her basically of killing her son, even though she didn't even care about this kid whatsoever. And there were Blacktivists that were outside protesting the hospital, and the nurse went to the security asking for an escort to her car because she was getting death threats from these people. They refused to help her out. They refused to even walk her through the parking lot. She quit on the spot, and from what I know, she actually quit the nursing profession.
Yeah, so they wouldn't even give her security knowing that there was a gang of blacks out wanting to. It's very interesting to me. This nigger's mom doesn't visit until he's brain dead, for sure. And then listen, we're pulling the plug. We have no choice. And then it wasn't even the nurses. I'm assuming a nurse doesn't have any authority to make that kind of decision. It has to be a doctor that makes that decision.
Yeah, the nurse just there to help take care of the patient. She's cleaning up his piss and shit.
She's cleaning up this nigger's piss and shit that his body was still producing. It's what she was doing. And, I'm assuming somebody was doing it. Unless they were just letting him wallow in it, but I doubt it.
Somebody had to intubate him. Somebody had to put a catheter up his dick. So yeah.
Yeah. Somebody. So this is a woman that did that.
Not fun.
And the mother comes in. Like, you killed my baby. You killed my baby.
Yeah, I saw some chatter about how there is a pattern now of blacks like basically ambushing people like this in the parking garage. Like that's a thing.
Yes.
And oftentimes it's their coworkers that do it too.
Yes.
This nurse had a very reasonable fear that she was going to be attacked. And the hospital did nothing to
escort her to her car, and then I would just never return. If I'd be like, yeah, I quit.
Well, I'm reading further in this article here, and it says,
I'm not going back.
Critics say private hospital police can exacerbate the health care and policing inequities already experienced by black people. They also say private police forces often don't have to disclose information, such as how often they use force, or whether they disproportionately detain members of minority groups. But literally the same article.
The seething rage that this fills me with. Sometimes I'm like... I don't want to make one issue more important than the other, but when you see this kind of shit, it just always brings back to me how absolutely fucking critical the race issue is. Yes, the tranny issue, the faggots, I fucking hate them. They suck. They need to go. But frankly, conservatives are actually kind of doing some work on that front, sort of. Politicians are sabotaging it, but the general public. But for the love of God, white people, we have to stop being pussies about racial shit. Stop it. It's so fucking bad. It is so bad, and every single institution goes to bat for these violent, predatory niggers that are making life impossible in ever-expanding fields. And it's getting intolerable, and we have to fucking stop being pussies about this shit, people. We have to stop being fucking pussies, because we're gonna fucking die. We can't go to the fucking hospital. You can't go to a dock or a boat. You can't do shit. And the media and the politicians, everybody's on their side as if they're fucking innocent victims. No, niggers are terrorizing and shooting up hospitals and killing nurses and doctors. That nigger a couple weeks ago that shot his doctor, very talented surgeon, you know, somebody who was a high level surgeon in his field, and the nigger just killed him.
Yeah.
There's that doctor that was killed in California.
There was one in California who was, he was riding his bike and a nigger just killed him. So how many talented people, medical professionals are going to just be murdered by niggers while just trying to do their job? And I'm almost like, you know, they don't fucking deserve it. They don't deserve it. And the main thing is, if we could just get the fucking stones, the balls, to actually protect ourselves, this wouldn't be a problem. It's a problem because the Jews in the media stir up the problem to make it worse, and white people are frankly pussies about it. It's time to stop being pussies.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild to me that the article itself, every shooting that it lists in there was done by a minority.
No one and then that's done that is white. None.
And then it goes on to complain that, well, the private security would mistreat these minorities.
It's the fault of people for trying to enforce a standard, essentially. Even a minimal effort at trying to enforce a standard. Oh, wow. Well, look at this disproportionate. Do private security disproportionately detain niggers? Do niggers disproportionately shoot up hospitals? I mean, that's the real fucking question here.
In fact,
in Memphis, there was another doctor that was killed last month. He was a very talented, complex orthopedic. He did complex surgeries for orthopedic and cancer patients, basically.
Yeah. So just murdered another person just killed by a nigger. Yeah, there you go.
In fact,
should have died instead of him. Whatever
the paragraph that I was reading that had all of these shootings, I didn't recognize one of them. It was the one that happened in Cedar Hill. So I went, looked it up. Sure enough, it was another nigger. Literally everything they've listed in the whole article is either niggers, or in this case, they had one Mexican that did a shooting.
Dude, listen.
It's all minorities.
Listen, such attacks have helped make healthcare one of the nation's most violent fields. Data shows American healthcare workers suffer more non-fatal injuries from workplace violence than workers in any other profession, including law enforcement. Healthcare workers don't even think about that when they decide they want to be a nurse or a doctor. But as far as actual violence goes, statistically, healthcare is 4 or 5 times more dangerous than any other profession, said Michael D'Angelo, former police officer who focuses on healthcare and workplace violence as a security consultant in Florida. So this cop is like, yeah, that was more. I was a cop. That shit's way more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Those cops are allowed to carry guns.
someone we know in the last year has been attacked twice.
Yeah,
while
several
doing
people
their job.
We know, but yes. Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, that was
and
still
the,
sort of
the
a.
The other reason yeah. is because these, frankly, blacks and beaners disproportionately use health care, particularly in the emergency services, because they get in fucking brawls and they injure each other. They shoot and stab and cut each other, and then they go to these healthcare facilities for these emergency services. I mean, how many people that come in with gunshot wounds or stab wounds are already the type of people that engage in mutual combat? Lots of them.
Probably most of them that end up in the ER at this point.
Yeah, I would assume the ER, particularly the more urbanite you get, although shit, you can get it anywhere, is just filled with like non-whites, blacks, and beaners. They're just shooting and stabbing each other.
I mean, I think this is well known, but combat medics do their training at the Chicago ER.
There you go.
Oh, dude, don't even get me started. Went back whenever I was working EMS. It was well known that certain regions were a good place to go if you wanted to get trauma experience.
If you wanted to go be a field surgeon for the Army.
It's like, hey, you want to get some good trauma experience? Yeah, you need to go to Danville. You may not survive, though, so I maybe reconsider.
Your chances are better in Iraq versus Danville.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Well, yeah, because you're protected by an army in Iraq. You have to deal with some of the, I mean, that shit's over now, but you have to deal with some of the pretty traumatic, you know, IED injuries.
In the field, there was a perception that you would do like a tour in one of these regions just to like bone up on your experience a little bit.
Yeah, I need practice in fixing up someone who suffered massive bodily trauma and is bleeding out and someone whose like arm or leg has been blown off. I need to get some actual get my hands dirty. Get in there and work with that kind of thing.
Now that feels to me a little bit like a failed state.
Yes,
feels a little bit failed state-ish whenever you've got regions of your country that basically you're experiencing low level.
It's like a purposely fail. It's like purposely failing. Like that's what's so remarkable. But it's not just that it's like. It just can't control things. Things are getting ahead of it. It's like America has chosen, because Jews run the system and are ideologically in control of both liberal and conservative ideologies in this country, both of which are all about allowing for this shit. And effectively, I would say at this point, conservatism worships niggers even more than liberalism. Conservatism is the true ideology of nigger worship. I would
tend to agree with that. Yeah,
no, conservatives.
Yeah.
Because liberals are sort of beyond worshiping niggers. They don't like worship them in their spare time. Yeah. You know,
conservatives aren't very tactful with the way that they worship niggers. They do it in a cringe and obvious in your face kind of way.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that liberals still really like the white presenting blacks, and they want to raise
the blacks that liberals up. Like are like the mulattoes or julattoes, the frizzy haired ones that are super ideological with the Black Lives Matter stuff. Conservatives like actual niggers.
Yeah, the conservatives have allowed themselves to be dragged down to the nigger level.
Right. The actual like actual mean median nigger is like the one that the conservatives like. Yeah, I like that nigger.
We got to go back to the riverboat story real quick. Check this out. I'm going to send you a link. I think you're going to find this pretty funny.
Okay.
And the Detroit rapper writes song about Montgomery Riverfront Brawl, goes viral. Got a quote here. This was a really big moment for us. G-Mac Cash said, referencing the black community, it shows us coming together, uniting finally. Oh, really? So you're coming together and uniting so that you could get in a brawl?
So niggers have never done a racial brawl before? I doubt it. I think it's happened many times. Now, I think that niggers are like finally a brawl that wasn't like niggers versus niggers. It was niggers versus whites. I'm like, if those whites had cleared out, if those white people had cleared out of the area, like eventually the niggers would have just started brawling with each other.
Oh my God, this is pure gold. He can be heard rhyming out shout outs to many of the happenings in the brawl, including a mention to the bro that could swim, referencing a teen who was seen swimming across the water to the brawl. They got niggers literally swimming, staying above water, join a fight.
The one thing that lets the one time a nigger can actually learn to swim, it's like suddenly he finds it in himself. Suddenly that buoyancy issue isn't a problem. Suddenly he's got the energy to make it across. He's like, oh, there's a fight over there. Let me get. That's how much niggers love fighting. He's like, I can swim now. Wow.
This is a little funny. Can we seen get a couple this? Of them boys go. Yeah, the song's in the is linked in the article on Yahoo. Here I have it right.
Oh, this
here,
is the same. This is the same nigga that wrote a song for Big Gretsch.
Yep.
Remember that he bought the Cardi's for Big Gretsch. She couldn't accept them because it was like it was considered an in kind donation. Okay, hold
seen
on,
a so. Couple of them boys go night night, and we got the first black man to swim to a fight.
Okay. All right, that's actually funny. All right, here we go.
Bitch, not one but them all. Montgomery Brawl. Shout out bro that can swim. Montgomery Brawl. Shit, really all of them. Montgomery Brawl. Shout out Unk with the chair. Montgomery Brawl. Everybody that was there. Montgomery Brawl. Threw the hat off at the start. Montgomery Brawl. Man, shout out to the girl. Montgomery Brawl. Hey, now y'all done started some shit, so we gonna finish
y'all
it.
Y'all did.
And this time, everybody about to witness it. Bro told them to move, just doing his job. But y'all wanted to jump him, so now we got a prize.
Let's get it.
Alright, bet. Let me tell y'all what really happened. Heard they was jumping on my cousin. Let me off, Captain. Cuz came out the water like, let's get it cracking. Unk came with the chair like, I got some action. Cuz came no shirt like, I got Sebastian.
I got him.
Even the women getting hit like, damn, what happened? Hey, this shit was kinda lit like, damn, it's cracking. I even seen a rock bottom like, damn, this wrestling. Seen a couple of them boys go night night. And we got the first black man to swim to a fight.
Salute.
If you mad at this song, don't mention me.
Don't do it.
But fuck that chair going out in history. Hey, I'm really proud of y'all.
Montgomery Brawl.
Bitch.
Not one but them all.
Montgomery Brawl.
Shout out bro that can swim.
Montgomery Brawl.
Salute. Shit, really all of them.
Montgomery Brawl.
Real.
Shout out Unk with the chair.
Montgomery Brawl.
Everybody that was.
I'll say one thing for these niggers. White people should be doing this.
Yeah.
White people should be writing songs about white people that beat up black people.
Well,
now, let's not.
Well, you know what happened.
We are well beyond. The point of like being higher than now, like white people were too up our own ass. These niggers are dirty and grimy, and they win. They're winning.
Try that on a small riverboat.
Yeah.
Try that in a small brawl.
Look. Basically, this is about black racial solidarity, and blacks don't really actually the idea of black racial solidarity. They don't really have it because they certainly don't have it amongst themselves. But when they have a white target, yes, then suddenly they have it. So every race is going to fight amongst themselves. White people do it all the time. But really, we should lock shields behind each other in this kind of thing, and we're not going to. Because white people are going to be running to throw each other under the bus for this and think it's cool. Because blacks look cool. They write rap songs about this, and there's going to be like wiggers and shit that thinks this is awesome. That kind of shit has to stop. And just like throwing your hands up and being so angry at this song. You know, this song doesn't make me mad. It's what I expect. And it's kind of funny that he's like, shout out to the first black man that learned to swim so he could go fight. I mean, that's actually very funny. So he's like proud of black people for getting involved in a racial brawl. Okay, well, I'm proud of white people for Emmett Till. Fuck you, niggers. What's the difference? I mean, that dude with the chair was—he basically could have killed that lady.
Somebody write a song about shouting at the guys that made Emmett Till a good boy. See how they like that.
There you go. I mean, yeah, like, no. I mean, look, I'm not suggesting that white people go start fights with niggers and like write songs about it. What I'm saying is, white people need to have some kind of solidarity around each other. And the fact that the lack of solidarity is pure fucking cowardice. Every signaling white person is a coward. Every white person that signals their agreement with official ideology is just a fucking coward. They're just a coward. And they should be called such. The way you break that is you humiliate them. You call them cowards. You call them. They don't like it. They don't like that kind of stuff. We have to start attacking and humiliating white people that are going along with this shit and make them understand, yeah, the social capital you're trying to collect on this shit, that's not coming. You're a piece of shit. You're a coward, you're a pussy, and you're frankly a piece of trash for going along with this garbage ideology. So, yeah.
They are selling t-shirts of the fucking folding chair.
Yeah, no, they're all about it. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a Soros prosecutor that is going to let that nigger off. He's not going to jail. He tried to kill somebody with a chair. He tried to kill a white woman with a chair. And he's not going to jail. Now somebody should write a fucking redneck country song for that white man, that shirtless white man that pushed the nigger. Go for it.
If he had successfully killed somebody with that chair, niggers would be all about it.
Oh, they would love it. No, they already love it. They were happy. I mean, you heard this song. Even the women are getting punched.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comment in the Yahoo News section. Privilege had its assets beat. Laughing emoji. I mean, yeah, Privilege. People are in, yeah.
Yeah. So what blacks have been? Blacks are, understand this. Every white person that talks about white privilege because it thinks you think it's going to earn you some kind of clout. Huh, fuck you. Black people are privileged.
It's going to earn you a chair to the head.
It's going to earn you a fucking chair to the head. I mean, look, black people are objectively a privileged class in America by any measure. By any measure. By any measure. And you frankly, you fucking know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. I mean, you literally cannot arrest them for crimes. What more example of privilege is there? I mean, this brawl, the only reason... This is national news. Now we're going on 5 fucking days. All right, wait. This was Saturday. So 4 days. This is the 5th day. It's still headline news. It is still in the top 3 stories on my Yahoo News feed, on my Google News feed. Just because it's a man bites dog. The story about 14th Street, that's long in past history.
More like man punches nog.
Man punches nog.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even just that it's not just because it's a man bites dog and it's novelty. It's because it's an opportunity for Jews to stir up anti-white sentiment, to stir up their stupid narrative. I mean, the articles I saw on like CBS were like igniting conversations about race. No! It's not igniting conversations about race. It's igniting niggers celebrating a bunch of niggers beating up white people. That's not a conversation. This is a bunch of apes screeching. That's what it is. So, fuck you. Yeah, but niggers love this. They are absolutely going wild, and they're encouraged to go as wild as they can. I mean, the amount of open anti, you know, the amount of open racial targeting of white people that's going on over this is massive. It's huge. I mean, this entire song is about racially targeting whites, this rap song.
Mm-hmm.
This song is celebrating a group of black people racially targeting whites for violence. They're proud of each other for it. They're liking it. How is this different than a lynch mob? The only difference is the only crime committed was a white guy shoved a black guy. That's it. That's it. I mean, the pretense that black people are victims makes me so fucking sick. I'm so fucking tired of it. It just sickens me to see this shit. People need to fucking stop with this. And everybody that does it needs to be called out. And you shouldn't feel ashamed or feel scared of doing it. Just call me. Nah, fuck that. Blacks get away with everything. You know it. You're trying to come to me with this white privilege shit. You're trying to come to me with this, like, white people. Fuck you. Niggers get away with absolutely everything in this country. They get away with every fucking thing. And the media basically instructs the entire government, governing police apparatus on how to deal with them, which is, like, if you do anything even slightly to enforce the law against these people, we are going to come down on you. The whole political media establishment. Yeah. That fucking black cop who seemed interested in actually arresting Folding Chairman, he'll probably lose his fucking job if he does. Which also shows you what the black community values and what the Jewish media teaches them to value. It's not a black guy who made it to the level of police chief as an affirmative action hire. It's a nigger that beats someone with a folding chair. That's the one that they like. Remember, we also said, when you have an actual white presenting good, so-called good black, who gets killed by police or something like that, they don't give a fuck. They riot and brawl when it's a fucking hood-ass nigger that does it. When it's an actual hood nigger, an actual probably a violent offender that gets shot by cops, that's when niggers brawl. They don't give a fuck about a good boy nigger. They don't give a fuck about a mulatto house nigger that gets killed. No, they will riot on behalf of real niggas like George Floyd. Like drug-addicted, violent criminals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Is it time for a break?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It really is. So, okay. We will be... Let me see. Where are we? Yeah, we'll be back.
We spent a lot of time on the riverboat.
That was fun. I enjoy spending time on riverboats. All right, I'll be back in a little bit.
You're listening to TDS on the Right Stuff.
Doc Biz.